Hello, Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Sigrid Schultz, the Berlin correspondent of the Chicago Tribune, speaking to you from Berlin. While the Democratic Convention is getting underway in my hometown, Chicago, and the real presidential campaign is gaining momentum, those of us who are on duty in Europe are wondering whether the American voter has fully realized the importance and the significance of the developments on Europe's battlefield for our own country. Rarely in history has the importance of a real fighting spirit and the determination to strengthen and support this fighting spirit been demonstrated more clearly than in Germany's spectacular victories in the past 10 months. Nor has the tragedy which marks the man and nation which merely cling to what they have without making a desperate effort to protect themselves through hard work, energy, and daring been illustrated more clearly than in the fate which overtook France. Meek pacifism, interspersed with occasional spurts of energy and an occasional will to fight, may be quite enjoyable. But in our day and age, when powerful nations are forging ahead, creating big realms in which they are the masters, the chiefs of other states and their sub-leaders must find ways and means of shaping and enforcing a clear, definite line of policy for their governments and their nation. They must also find ways and means of imparting this spirit to every individual. To achieve this goal and still remain within the traditional foundations of American life is quite a task. But after watching what happened to Europe in the last 10 months, the Americas have had a good object lesson and may be able to profit from it. I have just seen rushes of newsreels from France, which may help illustrate the point at which I am driving, this matter of military and mental preparedness, which made the strength of Germany in the past 10 months and the weakness of the French. We were shown movies of France's biggest arms and ammunition plant, Le Creusot, now held by the Germans. We saw photographs of enough bombs and shells and dynamite to blow up a whole city of millions or a whole front. The offices were in perfect condition, as if the workers would be returning within a few minutes. And yet, the plant had been taken over by the soldiers with whom France was at war. Right now, Germans are learning that they must train themselves to think in the terms of the new European continent under German leadership. The small countries of Europe, those that are already under direct German supervision, and those which still cling to the idea that they are independent, must realize, writes the Börsen Zeitung, that, quote, it is compatible with the honor of a small nation to place itself under the protection of a big state, unquote, and that, quote, to depend on other continents in essential matters is a deadly danger, unquote. Germans, therefore, advocate that everybody should learn to think of Europe as a whole. These, quote, foundations of the new Europe, unquote, form an important topic in all political conversations in the German capital. The editorial writer of the Berliner Börsen Zeitung declares that, quote, nobody will deny that Germany and Italy are ordained by fate to be the leaders of Europe, unquote. He refers twice to the, quote, disappearance of France, unquote, as a factor on the European continent. Just how much of France will survive after the new European peace is devised remains a matter of conjecture that is taboo. German newspapers today publish whole pages of pictures of the German Alsace. The Völkischer Beobachter stresses that, quote, the war ended in the complete defeat of France, from which France must draw more than the military consequences, unquote. Let us switch from politics to everyday life. On the whole, the food situation has improved and the butter rations have been raised. In Berlin households, this is canning time and preserving time. Special allotments of sugar have been set aside to enable the Hausfrau to get some extra sugar to make her favorite jams, provided she gives up part of her cards for factory-made jam. The newspapers are full of recipes on how to preserve fruit with a minimum of sugar, or how you can sweeten your preserves by adding grated carrots and such. Fruit is scarce in the capital, partly owing to the hard winter which destroyed or crippled many fruit trees, partly owing to the fact that railroad cars that could bring fruit to the city have more important military duties to perform. All papers publish long reports on the activities of the matrons in charge of hospitals, buying up supplies of fruit for the injured, who must naturally be given preference to help them regain strength quickly. To reduce friction between housekeepers and storekeepers, authorities ruled that henceforth your fruit dealer may reserve an extra pound or two of fresh fruit and other vegetables that are not rationed for you, if you are a regular customer. While at first dealers were punishable by law if they reserved goods for their pet clients, now they are entitled to hide some of their wares for their regular clients. This has eased the lot of the cop at the corner, near the grocer and the greengrocer's. Before the dealer was officially allowed to watch out for his regular clients, you could often see furious housewives drag him to the grocer's and point out the corner where they had seen an extra pound of strawberries hidden away for some future client. The ardent housewife still watches with an eagle eye to make sure that she gets as much of this year's harvest as is humanly possible. But the cop can go back to his regular task of directing traffic and making sure that only those who attend to business deemed of importance to the state or the country's interests enjoy the luxury of riding in taxis or driving about in cars. In many German cities, soldiers returned from the front yesterday and today. In one of the big ports, a special reception was organized for the sailors who distinguished themselves in the Battle of Narvik. In Spandau, a suburb of Berlin, I saw Signal Corps units march through the streets on the way to their regular barracks, with Sunday afternoon excursionists giving them a friendly welcome. But it was quite evident that crowds remained expectant. You could see they did not feel certain that the soldiers were home to stay. They, too, are waiting for the last phase of the battle with England. In the meantime, the naval and air war between Germany and England is gaining in momentum. Both sides are trying hard to hide what is actually happening behind a smokescreen of patriotic silence. War bulletins reveal clearly that the real attack has not started. In the first 6 days of the Battle of France, from May 10th to May 16th, the German Air Force made wholesale raids on French airfields and claimed to have destroyed close to 1,500 planes, or an average of 250 planes a day. Now, the daily figure wavers around 10 to 15 British planes, which the Germans report is destroyed. One might assume that the English are taking better precautions than the French to defend their airfields from sudden surprise attacks. Foreign military observers are also of the opinion that fundamentally the English flyer is a better flyer than the Frenchman, an opinion which you also hear expressed occasionally by German military experts. Nevertheless, all circles agree that the real big air battle has yet to come. Some neutral observers believe that both sides are trying to gain time, with the Germans believing that their naval blockade is proving more and more effective and helping to undermine the British morale, the same as the weeks of uncertainty undermined the French morale. Messages from neutral countries such as Sweden assert that English politicians who favored a compromise with Germany in the days of the Munich peace are again making themselves heard in London. America's presidential campaign has stirred up almost no excitement in Germany, which is concentrating on her policy of turning Europe into the continent that will abide by her leadership. In Munich, where the powers sought to safeguard peace 2 years ago, authoritarian Germany and Italy and their friend Hungary met last week to work out a joint policy for the future of southeastern Europe. A temporary compromise seems to have been reached, as in this region, as in the rest of European countries controlled by Germany, where Germany is strengthening her positions from the North Cape to the Pyrenees on the Atlantic Ocean, pending the outcome of her final battle with England. This was Sigrid Schultz returning you to America for Mutual Broadcasting System.